Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 43 for July 31st, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and but I'm also publishing all the timing research shows as audio-only podcasts through Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts, so be sure to look us up there. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 50 people have submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I have put together the list, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. So we're going to go through as many of those as we can. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. I developed a show with Dean of Follow Me Trades, but he is off this week as moderator, and I have Mike Pisani here to moderate the show for the first time. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade for this Friday. This Tuesday, the 31st of July, last day of the month. Apple just came out, guys. You're seeing this live on my screen here, and it is a massive beat. Guidance raise, cell phones, iPads, above all expectations. The call's not till 5, but at this point, nothing here that looks bad in this report. So why don't we start off by introducing ourselves and telling us a little bit about what you do. So first of all, let's start off with Stephen Brooks of StephenBrooks.co.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Stephen Brooks, for those of you who don't know me, which is basically all of you. I come from an athletic background, and I've been a self-directed investor for the last decade or so. And over the last few years, have gotten into the education space and working with investors, beginner or pro, and allowing them to make money consistently in the market, following as simple as possible strategies that there are. And thank you, David and Mike and Jim and Steve and the rest of the panel for having me.
Thanks, Steven. Next up, we have Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about what you do?
Sure. I'm a content provider for the optionprofessor.com DVDs, which are educational in tone, trying to tell you the different ways to use options for income, cash flow purposes, as well as hedging and limited risk speculation, and all the different ways to trade them, and basically try to give you a good base of information on all the different tactics. So when you see a setup or you see a situation, and there's a whole group of tactics that you could consider.
Thanks, Jim. And lastly, we have Stephen Place of investingwithoptions.com. Steve, tell us about yourself.
All right, thanks for having me. Hi, everyone. My name is Stephen Place. I'm the founder and head trader at investingwithoptions.com, where we teach people just like you how to become great option traders. My main focus is on trading options in indexes and large cap high beta stocks. And I teach people how to become consistently profitable using a variety of different option strategies.
Thanks, Steve. And lastly, my name is Mike Pisani. I am the founder and owner of smartoptiontrading.com. And what we do there is we follow the option flow, which shows us where they're rotating into, what the sentiment of the market is. And we look for technicals to coincide with those option flow that comes into it, whether it be bearish or bullish. And we use that to help us guide us in and out of setups. So we were short Facebook this week. And actually, we came into today kind of flat with Apple earnings because it was kind of a little bit of a wild card event here at this point. So we have a lot of symbols to get through, guys, and we have about 55 minutes. And I'd like to keep the order of Steven, Jim, and Steve, if you guys don't mind, and I'll go last. And so, Steven, you want to start us off with Chem?
Yes. Okay. So Chem, never heard of it before, but that's okay. So nothing really to see there. But one of the first things I do with anything that I never heard of is I want to make sure it has enough liquidity and enough participation that will allow me to not have to take a loser to get in the trade. And the way you can tell that is the first thing is you want to see the stock volume in the millions. And this is on the low side. And we really want to see the options volume in the few thousands. This way we have a good understanding that there's a decent amount of participation in a stock. So without looking at the chart, telling you up, down, or sideways, this is not something that I would ever trade. So I'm just going to pass on it in general.
Okay. Jim, how about yourself?
Again, I'm not familiar with the company, but I'll give you the technical rundown that I'm seeing. It's a company at $1.5 billion market cap. It's industrial electronics, and it's this year gone from about 14 bucks to as high as 30. So obviously, somebody's making some very good money on it, so I wouldn't dismiss it as nothing. It did have an exact type of a situation that I always am very concerned about and would very much use different option strategies when it gets to that point, and that is an overbought condition. The 200-day 30-day moving average down around 19.20. This thing hit 30. That's 50% above its 200-day average. That's where you start doing your collars. That's where you start doing your call writing. And that's where you start taking some plans that it might have a pullback, because that far away, 50% away from this 200-day, is by definition a little bit overbought. So right now you've had a pullback. It's at 26. Okay. Now where are the averages? 50 days at 24.5, 200 days at 19. So it is starting to fill in the differential a little bit. And the volume is a little lighter lately. Again, using $20 as an uptrending type situation, there seems to be a lot of support at 20. So that would be my line in the sand if I was a long-term holder. And if I wanted to participate on it, moves back towards 24 and 20 in that area would be an area to pick it up if you think it's a full-on bull market. Again, I'm not that familiar with the company, but it certainly has had a good run, and certainly people who are in it have been doing pretty good in the last 12 months.
Okay. Steve, what's your take on Chem?
All right. So this is, for those of you that don't know the company, and I only know this because I looked it up just a second ago, so I'm not super
You beat me to it.
Right. You know, I just ripped up ThinViz to check it out. It's in the semiconductor electronic space. That theme has kind of petered out recently, right? AMD ran. You can look at something like NVIDIA, which has gone sideways for a while. You could look at Micron, which has gone sideways for a while. So this kind of theme and that space has not had the hot hand over the past few months. Now, this stock on an absolute basis, you know, it's not a huge mover in terms of dollars, right? I tend to look for stocks like the Apples and Amazons that move on a large absolute basis. I get more volatility out of them. But on a percentage basis, I mean, this stock moves, right? A year, not even a year ago, it was at 15. It traded all the way up to 30. So it was a double in a year. I can see why people are paying attention to it. What I would expect here is for an establishment of a new trading range, very similar to what we saw in Feb through May, where we had this move from 20 to 16, about a 4-point trading range. It just had earnings. The low from earnings is 25 1/3. So you can use, we're just going to guesstimate and say, you know what, 30 is the most recent high. I would expect as we head to 25 to 24, if we do get that, that'll be the low. That should be a good place to start initiating swing positions. And then if you start see the stock run to the other end of the range, then you go into covered calls, or at least you scale out some of your positions. So once I think playing that range would be a reasonable strategy headed over the next few months.
Thanks, Steve. For me, I kind of agree a lot with you. They just had earnings. Wasn't enough to move the needle here this time. I think, you know, this space is kind of a little bit priced to perfection here. This is a name I don't know that I'd play options on. I might just buy the common and sit in it when it got to a point I wanted to. And I'd watch this 50-day area down here around 24.65. You know, comes down, hits this area. It has support in this area. It would make a nice area to start along on it. And then, you know, if it held there, you're great. If it goes lower, then my next point would be down around 23. I'd look to add some to it. So I'd kind of scale into this one. And it is low volume. And I wouldn't day trade a name like this, right? I would only want to take a long-term investing approach on this, or something I would hold for a bit, because it may be hard to get in and out of this thing as you move forward. So I'm kind of with you guys. I do think, though, that a little bit more follow through to the downside here is probably likely. And if I can get it down around 24.65 and a reversal candle off of that, I'd like that. All right, what's up next? So Steve, let's go back to you. We have the big name here in biotech, Regen.
Okay, Regen, well, first of all, it has earnings, what is this, Thursday morning, right? So obviously, I probably wouldn't initiate a new position until earnings happens, or this could have a big move. If you are interested in doing an earnings-specific play, this has decent enough volatility where you could put on something like an Iron Condor, where you're collecting half of the width of the strikes. Other than that, I wouldn't touch it because, again, it has earnings in about 2 days.
Okay, thanks. How about Jim? What do you think here?
Yeah, it does look like it's hitting some resistance around 375. Let me just take a look at a couple things real quick. This is obviously a very volatile company. Went from the 500 area all the way down to into the threes there. So obviously it can go either way pretty good. Right now the 50-day average is 334 and the 200-day is 351. So you're above both averages. That's the good news. The bad news is that they're still inverted. So sometimes that means that you could keep doing some backing and filling while these things get a chance to turn. But if earnings are coming out and they do blow through it, I think the key number right now is 400. And between now and 400, it could chop around while these moving averages, which are still inverted to the downside, stabilize and start turning up. So my lines on the sand on this thing would probably be between 330 and 350 if you were a holder. And I probably wouldn't get too excited on it until it showed the ability to get above 400.
Okay. Steve, what do you think?
Let me pull up my mic. There we go. Earnings are up. Earnings are up on deck. I just checked the pricing. We're looking at 4 2/3% of a move. For me, that if this were any other stock, I'd say that feels light. But if you go and you actually look at the earnings reactions with this stock, earnings tends to be non-reactive with this name.
Yep, right, because it's all about the drug data.
Right, right. So While earnings, you can even look at the implied volatility. Implieds are currently sitting at 35%. You know, it's not stupid high. There's not a whole lot of risk premium being baked into the earnings because the drug events are what matters here. I think 400 will probably act as a magnet eventually. Now, whether or not we see a gap and go above that level, or if we see some kind of a pullback on earnings, that remains to be seen. If we were looking at this chart in a vacuum and said, okay, earnings are not here, then what I would say is this is volatility compression. The stock had a really, really strong run. We got a trend change over, on this multi-month chart right here. Look for continuation. Look for continuation back to the upside. Look for that 400 to act as a magnet. And that's if earnings, we didn't have to deal with it. That's what I would be expecting here going forwards.
Thanks. For me, I'm not too afraid of earnings on this name. I'm with you, Steve, on this. This is more about drug data, and that's the problem. You kind of have to know. If you're going to play a name like this, you need to know when they have data coming out, right? It's not just good enough to say, okay, I'm in it. You need to know when it's coming out because, you know, I don't know if you guys play Biogen, right? We'll just pull that one up real quick. They had drug data last week on their Alzheimer's drug. And even though it sounded good at first, you know, look at that nasty reaction, right? So that had nothing to do with earnings. This was the earnings gap, believe it or not.
It's almost like a double island reversal.
It is.
It's really weird to look at.
It's a gap below and a gap above it. I have alerts on either end of it right now looking for a move, and it just doesn't want to get into either one. But back to Regen. If you like this name, I like it long term. You do have all the any of the biotechs. You still have all the chatter around with drug pricing coming out of the administration. I agree with you that a move to 400 is probably coming, and as long as it holds the 21-day here, which is right around this 362 area, right? I'd be willing to stay long at versus that, or try it longs off of it, because that seems to be a decent support. Where, as you said, it's just consolidated in this big move. I like that too.
Yeah, and you can probably just throw some like bull call spreads out there and just say full risk. You know, I'm not going to run a stop or anything. Just use the risk on that and let it run.
Yep. And you could take it way out of the money and let it come to you.
Yeah.
So something cheap. I would never put big. So one thing I would never do on this, I would never buy anything near the money on this. Everything would be way out of the money. Let it come to me or it doesn't work. What's next, guys? Who wants to start with Amazon? Steven, you want to start with Amazon here?
I do. So where I've been kind of on the sidelines on the last two, I was actually pretty active this morning in Amazon. So my core position is very bearish delta towards equities. And so Amazon's kind of my one thing that I like to get long to kind of counteract that a little bit. So as you guys can see, I don't have like trend lines like some of the other guys do. However, Amazon 3 days in a row, at one point it was down pretty good this morning. So I sold a bunch of the 1500 puts in the September expiration today, and I totally love that trade. So absolutely loved Amazon because volatility even after earnings is still a little elevated for now. So I totally love that. Yeah, so this morning I was all over those 1500 puts in Amazon.
So you think it's going lower?
No, I sold the puts.
You sold the puts. I'm sorry, you sold the puts. Yeah, you think it's going to hold here?
I don't know if it's going to hold. I have obviously a ways to go before I'm wrong. But again, my core position is basically short most equities, and I like being long Amazon.
Okay, fair enough. Jim, what's your take here?
Well, my take was on my podcast here when they came out last week, and they jumped up towards 1880. Again, the revenue didn't seem like it was that fabulous. The earnings were good. There's a couple of areas that they can still disrupt, like content and healthcare, but they are running out of areas to disrupt a little bit from where it had been. So a metamorphosis from a growth company in towards an earnings company, maybe in the future in the next 12 or 24 months. We don't know. I do know this, though. When the 200-day moving average is at 1430 and you go up to 1880, that's the time you want to start putting your collars on, and that's the time you want to start thinking about hedging a little bit. And that's exactly has been a very good idea so far. We pulled about $140 from the high of Friday to today's low. So great company, but a little bit on the extended side. And again, it may have a more difficult time breaking through 1900 and 2000, that kind of thing in the near term.
Jim, you brought up something that I've been saying since the earnings came out, and nobody else is saying it. They missed on revenue, and everybody's kind of gotten like, you know, glossy eyes over there. They more than double beat on EPS, but they missed on revenue, and they got a pass at first. And I think that's big news for Amazon, because they have, you know, that's a big change for them. It's a big character change.
And the volume on a 50-day basis has been about 500,000 shares a day less than on a 200-day basis, which means the last leg of this run has been done on lighter volume than over the last 200 days. And that's not exactly constructive either.
No, I agree. How about you, Steve? What's your take on Amazon?
I'll get to the trade setup in just a second, but the study I have on the lower pane right here is the distance between current price and the 200-day moving average. We're currently 24% above the 200-day moving average, but that has been the norm since the beginning of 2018. So it's one of those where it can stay overbought longer than we think. It can stay overbought further than we think. Back in March, it was actually 40% above the 200-day moving average. So I don't think it's actually incredibly overbought relative to that. The other interesting thing, the implied volatility still has stayed bid, right? It's currently 27.5. The lows, like the gutter lows, are sub 20%. So I think there's still juice that you can do. I like Steve's idea of selling the 1500 put straight up. You know, I like preserving my margin a little bit more. So I think that this is a decent bet as well. The SEP, selling the SEP 1540, 1530 bull put spread and then scaling in. I'm probably going to be early, right? I'm probably going to be early with buying the dip on Amazon. I think that you can actually get some better prices if tech just softens a little bit more. With Apple earnings coming out, it may not be soft anymore. That may be it for now.
Apple's out and they ran. We haven't had the call yet. So the call doesn't start till 5.
Sure. Doing something like this, going out, selling some out of the money put spreads, given the kind of pullback we're seeing, it hasn't been super, super aggressive. Amazon failed to break out on earnings, but that is very characteristic of how Amazon trades on earnings. The next support level I've got is 1658. Below that, I got 1548. All of those are very reasonable support levels to expect. This trade expires in what, month and a half, 2 months? So that's the kind of time frame you're working with on this trade.
Okay, thank you. I think tech is all about Apple tomorrow, right? If Apple holds in and is strong, it's going to lift all this weakness we've seen in tech lately. And if not, we could be in for a little bit more pain here in that. And that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, I don't think. So right now, looking at this, I think, you know, this is an area that's important for Amazon. If it either has to hold this area, this is the breakout, right? Went below it today, but ultimately came back up and held it into the close. That's important. So this 1765 area to me is a really important area on it. It has to hold that to stay in the game. If we lose that, I would look for a move down to test the bottom of this range or maybe this previous breakout area around 1645. So I think it's all about Apple tomorrow and how the markets react to that, and we go from there. What's next, guys? Steven, how about MMM?
All right, pull that up. So I wish we had this conversation last week because I would have been all over getting long 3M. It's had a nice little move. You know, this sector's been a little bit better. What I will say is I would be very bullish if we had a little bit of a pullback here because I like it. It's at the low end of the range. And again, this has been pretty beaten down. So if we had a little bit of pullback here, maybe 205, 200, I'd like to start nibbling from the long side for sure here.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, it does look like it's making a turn. It's real important that it stays above 200 here and 210. And as long as it can stay above 200 and 210, you know, we can see some better action on the upside. The moving averages are still inverted, 200 on the 50-day and 221 on the 200-day. So, you know, it's been in a downtrend, obviously. It's gone from the high of 260 all the way down to, you know, a low of 190 here. And the 190 just occurred July 24th. So we're talking about not very long ago. So there has been a turn. Obviously, some people are either covering their shorts, but there is not many shorts in there. Short interest is only 1.3% of the stock. So there are some people basically reversing themselves down here since July 24th because you've come up $22 in a week. So obviously there's been some pretty good bid coming in here. There are believers that this type of industry may benefit as things start changing a bit, particularly if the tariffs cause more inflation and that kind of thing and the prices of items go up. So maybe that's what's happening here. But clearly, you know, anything that goes up from 190 to 212 in a week certainly is getting some reversal action. And now the question is, can it hold its water or not? This 210 area where it is, 212, whatever, there could be some resistance right in this neighborhood. So let's see what it does here for the next week or so. But it does definitely look like it's trying to make a turn.
Jim, are you sharing a screen?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Steve,
I just have a big memory of all these things.
Yeah. There you go. Human encyclopedia. How about you, Steve?
Yeah, what do
you
think? Exactly.
So 3M, very well-established company, high dividend company. The price action that we've seen over the past week and a half is not special snowflake action. Like this is not unique to 3M. We could look at a chart of Johnson & Johnson, same kind of thing. We could look at a chart of Philip Morris, same kind of thing. We could look at basically any kind of, I think we could just look at XLP, consumer staples. There is just and continues to be a significant rotation back into these names that looked like hot garbage just a couple months ago. I don't think that there's any kind of edge right now in them because the train has already left the station. Yet anytime the specter of 3% on the 10-year spooks investors out of these high yield names, there tends to be a great opportunity to start picking up some put sales and some things along those lines. So I don't think there's an edge right now in 3M, but I like that theme of buying into the blood anytime these consumer staple stocks really start to get hit.
Okay. Yeah. So 3M for me, I agree with you. They've been hiding at consumer staples, right? With the sell-off the last couple of days in the markets, they kind of went back to some of these industrials and consumer staple areas where they felt safe. First of all, I would not be initiating up here this far off the 8-day. You know, it's $7 off the 8-day. It's filling this gap. For all intents and purposes, this gap is mostly filled. And then there was this little thing today. Somebody went out there and sold 10,000 October 230 calls and brought in $1.2 million. So we have a big October 230 call writer. Now, this guy's got room, right? He's giving himself room for this thing to move all the way up to 230. I do think that 219 will be a magnet on this name. They'll come and try to retest the 200-day along with a lot of the other names in this sector, but I wouldn't buy it here. I'd look to buy it back on a dip. So if I could reconnect with the 8-day, I think it would try it there. I do think sometime before the end of the year, this thing will take out or take a test of that 200-day area. All right. So we've gone through a bunch of names here. So this is where I want to ask each one of you guys, is there any trade you want to talk about right now or you like or you're looking to get into in the next week? Steven, start us off.
Yeah, I'd say that. I mean, I love the selling puts in Amazon right now. I love that trade. You know, like I know that things got a little messy over the last couple of days and this and that, but I really just love that. And you get a lot of premium. For me, the margin isn't too bad because I'm portfolio margin, but I love it, especially because my core portfolio is very much short delta. And for those that don't know what that means, that's kind of like bearish directional. That anytime I can sell some puts, even if I am early, like Steve said, and I'm never right on time, I'm always early or late. I really like that position right now. So that's kind of my favorite one on the board. I'm happy I was able to get off a couple of good prices today.
Anything else or just Amazon?
That's just Amazon.
Okay. Jim, how about yourself?
Well, there's not too much that's that exciting right now because I'm still a believer that 2050 move on the S&P just went up to fill a gap. And right now, that's all it's done so far. But the VIX has been pretty volatile, you know, went down into the 11s. And I was talking to, about the concept of doing a strangle or a straddle when the VIX gets into that 11 zone and hitting both sides of the market. And we had some pretty good volatility to trade off of that volatility. Now we're back at 1283 on the VIX. Now, I don't know if this is going to cause a big rally in the stock market with Apple, then of course the calls could get screaming again. Likewise, if this thing opens up on Apple and then closes down on the day like these other ones have done, then August could be a corrective month, and then we could start turning the table September, October, November. So you know, I'd kind of be thinking I'd price out some straddles or strangles on the S&P and see if they make any sense. They don't make as much sense as they did when we went to, you know, when we were down at 2700 on the S&P, and then we ran up to our 2750 on the S&P, then ran up to 2850. But it's interesting as it gets a little bit cheaper. These things can break either way. There's a big gap on the VIX up around 14. If it's going to go up and fill that gap, then obviously we're going to see a downward market. So it'll be interesting to see, but there's nothing banging the table right now, I don't see.
Okay. Steve, what about you?
All right, so this is going to be a setup in RH. This is Restoration Hardware. If you've never been in their store, they basically sell a lot of really overpriced, quote-unquote, restored stuff. It's fun to go into, but here's the setup. The stock currently has 36% of the short float, right? So one out of every three shares are currently borrowed by short sellers. Now, last earnings report, we were at 118 the night before, and then after earnings, we traded up to 154, a much, much larger move than what the options market was pricing in. Now, think about it from the perspective of the short sellers, where one in three shares are already short. And you're saying, well, when's the next earnings? Do I want to get smoked on earnings again, you know, like I did in the last quarter? Now, earnings is September 10th. So what you can do is anticipate some of these shorts closing their position into the earnings event. So we look for price appreciation into that earnings event. Stocks are currently trading at 136 and change. I would look for a move above 150. So I think going out and buying the SEP 150 calls straight up, you don't have to worry too much about time decay because the implied volatility will continue to rise as we head into earnings. So theta isn't a huge risk. And then you can use 130 as your stop.
Nice trade. Thank you. So guys, I'm going to go back to the well with Twitter here. And I'm going to start off by saying I've made a lot of money since last November on Twitter, in and out of it. And I came into this earnings with very little on. I just had 100 shares left out of 1,800 common, and I had no option positions left coming into earnings here. Though, by the way, those 100 shares are from down to 17. So I was willing just to sit in there and just want to see how high I can go with those. But the 200 date right here has my attention, this 30-30 area. And I do think it has a date with it. I already have a buy set up there in common and maybe some March options up around the 30.6s or maybe even a little higher. I think this sell-off is overdone. We already knew that they were deleting a bunch of fake accounts. So yeah, they missed their subscriber growth by a million, but they deleted 70 million fake accounts within the last week, couple weeks going into earnings. They have better revenue and better earnings per share than were anticipated. There's a nice change going on here within the product itself. They're trying to make it better. I think a lot of this got brought down because of Facebook and everything that went over there with their earnings. So I'd be looking at this one that if it holds 30.30 to try towing long off that area and see if it can work its way back up into that gap. And I do think eventually it gets back into that gap and makes a new run here. But you also have to realize where it came from, right? Look how, you know, that's the one thing I think we've kind of all hit upon is a lot of these big tech names were priced to perfection heading into earnings, right? They had run so far, so much that, you know, you knew earnings were going to have to be special and they just weren't. So I kind of like Twitter here. So that's what I'm looking at here if you guys are interested in that one.
And I keep looking at Twitter and saying, okay, what are the puts being priced at? And I've been watching the AUG 30 puts and the SEP 30 puts, and they've just not felt rich enough to really justify getting in. I would love some kind of exhaustion gap, you know, just to crack sub 30, and selling some puts into that is going to be some great risk reward.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty exhausted now, though.
I know. I want that. I want that one more push. And that means it probably won't happen, right? That's just Murphy's Law and everything. You know, scaling in could probably work right here, but I keep using that 30 as just a psychological magnet. You know, it's one of those that I think we could hit.
Yeah, I was hoping it would hit 30 today. And, you know, it started to flush with Facebook and the markets this morning, and then it just turned and reversed back up. And then you had the call sweeper starting to come into it. They're, you know, starting to play into it. So it's just tough. But I do think this name is ripe for some type of reversal here, even just to reconnect, right, back into the Bollinger Band, back up into that area. It's just so far gone. All right. So why don't we move on here? And next up is Love, an airline. Boy, the airlines guys have been on fire the last week or so. All earnings are done there. So what do you think, Stephen? Take us away.
Yeah. So again, I wish I was on the show last week because I would have been saying how I love the airlines at these levels. Again, this is a pretty parabolic move that I would prefer not to chase. So I'm bullish on airlines. So what I will say again, kind of like I did with the 3M, is I would love for a little bit of a pullback here, maybe 55, just by eyeballing it and definitely start establishing position. Like the airlines, I kind of like doing covered calls in these. So I would be interested in doing that if we get a little bit of a pull off here. Otherwise, no need for me to really chase on this one.
Jim, how about you?
Yeah, this the transportation average really took off out of the blue here in the last couple of weeks. You know, if you look at the chart that I'm looking at, there was a gap around that 60 number that it tried to get into, kind of like the S&P had a gap right around 2850 that it got into. So I would be kind of from the show me state around that 60 number. Since you're so close to it, you certainly wouldn't want to buy it here at 58 or 59, find out that 60 can't be broken, and then be holding the bag as it rolls over to the downside. So the 200 and the 50-day averages are still inverted. 50-day average is at $52 a share, and the 200 is at 56, 57. So they're still in a negative configuration. You have busted above it, and now, like I say, I'd use 60 as my line in the sand to see if it cannot get above that or can get above it, and then using 52 or 56 as numbers if I wanted to get long. Certainly that number 50, it reminds me of the number on Wells Fargo. the number 50 is very, very powerful in the stock. So that would definitely be the area where, you know, you could defend against.
Nice look. Steve?
I agree with that 60 level. That is probably going to be a bear. I don't think that there's a good tradable edge to the long side right now. You could probably fade Love short if we come into those high 50s again. There's two better opportunities in the airline space, depending on what kind of trading strategy you have. If you want to sell some premium, JetBlue and Southwest are basically discount competitors, and JetBlue did not have good earnings. This would be a bit of a knife catch. This looks like hot garbage, so you got to make sure that the option premiums are justified to sell into that. I think that the best setup right now is UAL. This is the, just by sheer price action, this is the leader in the airlines right now. It's at 52-week highs. It had a huge move to the upside on earnings. It's flagged out right now. So I would expect trend continuation. So if you're looking to play airlines long, I wouldn't look at Love. I'd look at, I almost said Under Armour, looking at United.
Can I add something to that? Because I wanted to bring up UAL as well. We've seen, there's another name, AAL. The last 2 days, they've been hitting the January 42s and the January 46 calls with large size. They were bought. They were coming in on the ask. They were being aggressively bought within this. So I agree. I like both the names you brought up better than Love. So I agree with you there because of the call buying. That said, today we got in Love is a topping candle, right? This is a sign of exhaustion. Pushed above, came back in and closed down. You got a shooting star type candle in it. I would rather trade UAL or AAL, but if it came back to the 50-day here around 56 and the 8-day came up and the rest of the airlines were strong, I wouldn't be afraid to take this for a quick trade and try to get to the 60 area. But I agree, that's where I'd be looking to get out here. And the one thing that does concern me about all the airlines here is the price of oil. You know, everything I'm reading says that supply is demand is outpacing supply in oil, and they have not been putting the money in to bring more oil to the surface. So that's going to start create higher oil prices. Well, what happens to the airlines when oil prices go up? The airlines usually get in trouble. They have a harder time. Their profits go down. Their costs go up. So I'm not a huge fan of Love other than a quick trade on a pullback towards that 56.50 area. All right, what's next? UCO. Steven, UCO, you know this name?
Never heard of it. So just looking at it for the first time. So it basically looks like...
it's leveraged oil.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it basically looks like oil. I mean, like my favorite trade in the world is getting short USO whenever it runs up. So that's just my favorite trade because of the negative drag that USO has. So with UCO, I mean, I would love to, again, if oil ran up, I would start selling something in USO as opposed to doing anything in UCO right now.
Okay. So you have no long-term, short-term thoughts on it?
Not on UCO. I mean, again, like if it's basically this, which it is, right? I would rather be short this if it runs up a little bit than do anything in UCO.
Okay. Jim?
Well, overall, it's obviously an uptrend, and it is a market that has stalled out right around this 30 number. So I think it's getting into crunch time for this thing here. I'd probably use these moving averages as some kind of a time. The 50 days right around 30, 30 and a half, 200 days right around 26, 26 and a quarter. If you're bullish, you know, you'd certainly want to just stay above 26 and hang in there and see if it's going to go. Because overall, obviously, since mid last year, it's gone from like, what, 10 or 15 bucks all the way up to 15 bucks all the way over 30. So, you know, it's been a double or more in the last calendar year from August 29th of last year. And, you know, it has stalled out after a big run. So that's always something to concern yourself with. And then the moving averages are kind of fairly close to where we are. So if we broke under 30, that'd be negative. If we broke under 26, I think that would be about it. So, you know, right now, if you're bullish, those are your lines in the sand. And if you want to start shorting this thing, you might want to see a little bit of a breakdown through these numbers before you jumped on the train.
Okay. Steve, any different thought here?
Yeah, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second.
Oh, sweet.
So UCO is the 2X ETN against oil. So it trades it fairly well, but I want to focus on USO and how absolute garbage that USO has become in terms of a trading vehicle. They would help investors and traders so much more if they did like a 5-to-1 or 1-to-5 reverse split on the name, because if you get a higher absolute share price, then you can increase the option premium and absolute value. I would love to sell calls and sell puts on USO, but the premiums you receive just don't ever ever feel like they're justified. I know the other Steve on the call, he does that. So, you know, that's great. But it just seems like there needs to be a better avenue for retail investors to play, because crude oil futures have options, but they're not too fun. I know from experience. In terms of the actual direction, it's in a range. I think that you have a better shot at trading COP, long, Conoco long. It's one of the better looking major integrated oil and gas names that's still in a good trend. It did not break down like Exxon did, and it's at highs. So that would be my oil proxy play.
Thank you. So the crude inventories came out tonight, and crude was a $5.59 million build versus expected of $2.8 million. So we have some more weakness here in the crude sector tonight, and as we head into the API numbers tomorrow, right? I like you guys, I don't like USO. There's just the only way to trade USO for me, if you want to trade it directionally, is you have to go in the money with puts or calls, right? Because it just doesn't move enough to pay. So you have to go in the money and have to, you know, you have to get the premiums up. For me, I don't trade oil futures. I know we're looking here at UCO. UCO is an ETN. These things are decaying, so I can't tell you to sit in this thing, right? To buy it or sit in it, because it's constantly decaying. Most of these have what, about a 6% per year fee attached to them that they take out of it. So I would not trade this vehicle other than to day trade. This is really a day trading vehicle. It's just not a, it's not meant to be sitting and holding. If you want to sit in something and hold it, you buy USO common or long-term calls on USO. I like your idea of COP. I'll bring up another one for you, CVX. CVX had a huge reversal off of earnings the other day and bounced back up here. I think there's just better names to play there. I think the individual names have a better run left in them, and I'll leave it at that. So let's go to one of my favorite companies here, because only because I use so much of their damn product. Steven, what do you think of Starbucks?
Plastic straws, yeah. Again, it's starting to creep
good
up.
Good for the environment.
Good for the environment, especially when the replacements have three times more plastic than the straws have. But new management, this company ain't going anywhere type thing. It has made a little bit of a move up. Obviously, there's a little bit something going on here around 50. So if we get a little bit pull back around the 50 area, I would be interested in putting on some long position. However, options are tough in there. There's really no volatility whatsoever. So that would be interesting. But again, yeah, if we got a little bit of pullback right around here, around that 50 area, I'd be interested in putting on something bullish bias.
You know, they did catch a couple of days ago some January 50 calls by about $500,000 worth of them. But I got to tell you, I looked at that and then some September 50s with it. And neither one of those two excited me. You looked at it and you saw the stock not really react to it, and it doesn't make you want to get in it.
Yeah.
Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, it seems like a little bit of a changing of the guard there. I mean, obviously it's a gigantic company, $71 billion market cap, and the product's addictive. So, they'll be back for more. I just think it's kind of a value play now. You know, the PE ratio is pretty reasonable. The dividend's 275. I don't think it's the growth crazy company that it used to be. So if you like 2.75 dividend on your money and you want to try to play it for going into that gap around 56, 58 or something like that, that's a possibility. But this is not the explosive mover that it used to be.
Steve?
The stock broke down underneath very, very key support, multi-month, I think even multi-year support at 50, about 53, 54. It has run into that level, and I think it's fadeable here. I've got a pretty decent setup right here. This is the Sepoc 50 put calendar for 28 cents, so it's a really cheap play. Basically, you're looking for a 50% return on capital, and the whole idea is that, you know what, it's probably not going to break the most recent lows. It's probably not going to run significantly higher from here. It's going to establish some kind of a new trading range. So do in the 50s, and then if the stock continues to squeeze, do something like the 52 and a half to get into a double calendar trade. And if you get some reversion, you should get some really nice profits out of this.
All right. So a little bit bearish on it. I think best case scenario is it gets a test of that 55. There was a hot rumor on this thing that they were going to divest themselves of their China names. They were going to spin them off or sell them off to another company, kind of like we saw with Yum China. I don't think they're going to do that. There's too much growth to be had in China for them. I think that's one of their few areas left there. To me, there's so much competition now, right? There's so many people doing other companies doing what they do, and they're just not the new hotness anymore. And unless they reinvent themselves, they're going to have a hard time. So I think you guys are right. For me to want to get interested in here, it's going to have to take out 53. Takes out 53 on volume, I think you can get a move up to 55, and then you see if it gets in that gap. If not, I think it kind of just sits here and goes sideways and waits for the next earnings or catalyst to come along. All right. URI, Stephen. URI, U-R-Y. We have some fun ones today.
All right. URI. So just looking at this in general, it's very much mid-range. And while the people that are a little bit more interested and knowledgeable on technicals would say this looks like a decent support, there's nothing going on here that screams anything to me. There's no price extreme. There's no volatility extreme. So because of that, I wouldn't do anything in here.
Okay. Jim?
Yeah, I'm looking at the, there's all overhead. It's all overhead with this company, huh? 50-day average, 156, 157, 200-day, 163. They're inverted. They're pointing straight down. You've got a company at 148, had a pretty good day today. It was up a couple percent, but the trend's down. And what you're doing, if you buy down here, you're hoping this 140 area holds, and then you're hoping at some point it can get above 160. Started getting above 160, then I would listen to the people who think 140 has been the low, and the low, you know, and that the market is turning back up a little bit. But this 157, 163 area, which is right around the 160 area, is probably about as far as it's going to get, unless the entire situation is turning from downtrend to uptrend, because you definitely have a downtrend coming on here, and it's been going on since the beginning of the year. So the key here is this going to participate on a fourth quarter rally, and is this going to be part of the, if we make new highs on the S&P in the fourth quarter, then this thing's a buy down here. If we're not going to make any new highs in the fourth quarter, and this thing has bigger problems that I'm not aware of, then, you know, and if it's not going to participate, then, you know, Lord knows it could, it's got another $50 or $30 on the downside before it hits some of those highs from 2017. Those highs in 2017 look like they're right around 125, 130. So right now, this thing's, you know, just hanging in there, turned up a little bit today, but I think above 160 would have to happen for it to really confirm any kind of a turn. And if it breaks 140, you're back in the soup.
Yeah. How about you, Steve? Anything different? You like this here?
Yeah, I'll pass. I don't feel like I got an edge, so I'll move on.
Yeah, I'm going to pass here too. I'll make it real simple. It's underneath every moving average, including the 8-day. It doesn't get much worse than that. For me, it has to get a close above and hold the 21-day for me to get any interest in it here at 150. And even then, the trend is down until I see something. So I'm with you guys. I'm passing on this one. All right, Stephen, how about BABA? BABA coming up. We have earnings next week. So China trade war is still going on. What do you think?
So if we didn't have earnings next week in BABA, I would have tried to sell some puts this morning. Actually, earnings aren't until 23rd of August, but that's still a little bit close. So yeah, I mean, I love trading BABA from the long side. It's not a screaming long right now. To me, it would need to sell off a little bit more for me to take some action on like selling a put credit spread or selling a naked put or doing something. So because of that, I would hold until it sold off a little bit more. Maybe it has bad earnings and it gets cratered right then and there, in which case I would definitely love to be on the other side of that.
I apologize. You're right. The earnings are 23rd. For some reason, yeah. I thought they were coming up. Baidu's tonight. We're waiting on that one.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, I think.
Yeah. Jim, BABA, different set of thoughts?
Yeah, well, just from the standpoint of it's an uptrending moving average coming in at 186 on the 200-day, and it did peak through it here as it went through towards 180 a couple of times here recently. So if it gets a good report next week and we start going above 190, 196, 196 is the 200-day, I mean the 50-day, then it could take out the 200 and go. But right now, I'd be suspicious that it had tried to make a run towards 200 where there was a gap, and there still is a gap between 200 and about 195 or whatever it is, and it failed. So obviously it ran up towards 200 and failed. That's the primary thing that I'd be worried about right now if I was long this thing. And then if I didn't own it, I'd certainly want it to break above 190, 195 area and get moving before I would enter, because you don't want to buy negative momentum on something that looks like it's slipping. The earnings will probably be the catalyst to take this thing either through 180 or through 200 probably next week.
So both of you guys, you don't think if China and the United States call a ceasefire, the Chinese names wouldn't take off and this thing wouldn't race back up?
There's no doubt about it. If I had a gun in my head, I'd definitely be long the thing, would have stopped under 180.
Yeah. I mean, they did that. There was one day last week where people were saying, oh, there's, you know, they're going to make a deal, I guess, after we made a deal with Europe, and it shot up like crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. How about you, Steve? What are your thoughts here?
All right, here's how to trade it. So this thing has been in a monster trading range. Support at 170, resistance at 200, 210, something like that. 30, 40 point trading range. And we are smack dab in the middle of it. And you guys are talking about tariffs. And you're like, oh, this thing's going to move big one way or the other if we see a tariff. We also have got earnings coming up in just a few weeks. So we can position ourselves and say, you know what? I don't know which way this sucker's going to go, but it can potentially move big before earnings. Sometimes, many times, what these stocks will do into earnings is that they will run in anticipation of some kind of a move. Now, I see this floor right around 181 and two-thirds, and I wouldn't be surprised if we cracked underneath that, that we would start to head towards the lower end of that trading range. I could also easily see this within about 2 weeks, running to 200, 205 on some kind of good news. So here's what you can do. This is the 24 AUG. So these are weekly options. 24 AUG, 185 straddle, 14 and three quarters. Basically, you want to see a strong move in either direction. Now, you may think that buying this straddle is scary because of time decay, but what happens, because earnings are in this cycle, the implied volatility will rise from 38% to about 80%. So your theta risk is mitigated because of the increase in risk premium. That's a little bit advanced, I know, but that's how the game's played. I'm looking for a 15-point move in either direction. I really don't care which way it goes. Target profits between 25 to 40% return on capital over a two-week hold.
Nice play.
Thanks.
So I kind of agree with you guys, right? And I agree with you. This name can run into earnings. And first of all, we got Baidu tonight. If Baidu is good, I would not be afraid to play names off of that tomorrow, like Baba or JD or even Momo, which got an intraday upgrade today from Standpoint, right? I also think that these names, you got to think twice before you swing them, unless you're doing something like what Steve is talking about right there, or selling some, you know, way out of the money puts against it, like the other Steven is doing. Because if you're just directional in this thing can turn on a dime, and you can gap in either direction hard overnight on the slightest bit of news. Like this morning, right? Marcus took off on a rumor that the United States and China were rekindling talks, which turned out to be false, which came out at the end of the day from the Wall Street Journal. So for me, these names are no touch right now until I see a change in character or we get a little bit of stability in our relationship with China. I'm going to make that easy. All right, what do we got? Let's do one more. Let's see. Why don't we do AMAT? A lot of people have been asking about that one for a long time. It's a semi-name. We haven't really done any of that. What do you think, Steven?
AMAT.
Yep.
It's good, good liquidity. Yeah, I mean, again, like it looks to be pretty supported at the low end of the range. And I think this would definitely be an interesting play from the long side if it pulls back a little bit. Now, you do have earnings up, so you have to be cognizant of that. But, again, I'd love to see a sell-off on earnings, and then I would definitely look to get some long exposure here.
Jim?
Yeah, I did hear that money's plowing back into the semiconductor ETF, the VanEck one, $175 million yesterday alone. And last week during the drop, there was a bunch of money. So people are not afraid of this semiconductor sector. They seem to, the more you hit them in the head, the more money they come up with. So that's a good thing for this stock. But, we're right into the neighborhood where, it's either going to make or break. You're at 48.5 on the 50-day. 53 on the 200 day. So right around that 50 area, is an area where, if it broke down, if it breaks under 45 here, obviously there's not much underneath. 45 was kind of the low in the first quarter of this year, and now we're back at it and we're kind of hanging on it. So if we break through 45, if you look at the graph, it looks like it could be timber on this particular stock. So this is probably a spot if you wanted to make a play on it, that it was going to turn up. This would be the neighborhood where it would turn up from using 45 as a fairly fairly important key area. So again, the two-sided trades, maybe with a little bit more time on it than just a couple of weeks, might be something to investigate, see if the prices make any sense. I would think from a 60 to 45 move, a lot of the volatility in the options have been aired out a little bit. I don't know that because I haven't looked them up, but I would imagine they should be cheaper. And then when they're cheaper, if you can press the envelope and get some time on the clock, then the guy who shorts the straddle or strangle to you, he's got to sweat bullets for months and months as opposed to a week or something like that. So I would say this 45 number is real key for this. It could easily go back up towards 60 if these people who are loading up on VanEck are right. And then again, you'd have something on the put side just in case the dam breaks at 45, because I think this thing could move pretty good one way or the other.
Thanks, Jim. Steve, how about your thoughts?
All right. This has earnings on the 16th, and the August monthlies expire on the 17th, and you can go out and buy the 50 call for a dollar. That seems cheap. If you're looking for upside on this stock, and if you're looking for a run in semiconductors, that seems like a reasonable bet to take right here, where you just buy it and it's an easy bake oven. Set and forget it. Don't try and run a stop because a dollar's cheap anyways, right? So buy that, sell half into 53, and then try and, again, same kind of thing. Look for a pre-earnings run. And then if you can get lucky and you scale some out, then you've got a pretty cheap call buy headed into an earnings event. And then, you know, what's the most recent highs? You know, this is a convexity trade where you can potentially get 9-1. So the most recent highs at 60, you know, you can do the math on that.
I like that idea. Thanks, Steve. For me, I'm looking at AMAT here. You guys brought up earnings. You have a downtrend that is trying to break here, right? A very steep downtrend that is coming up against. It held support, right? It's this thing does not trade nicely, right? It trades wide and loose. That's the only way to describe it. This is a great area to start getting long down off this 46 area where it continues to hold every time it kind of pulls back to here. There's been call buying in it, nothing special. Today we saw some October 55 calls. It kind of looked like they were coming in on the bid to me, but other people are trying to say they were bought. We'll have to see. Somebody's playing for a big move on this name up to 55 if they were bought to open. I thought they might have been sold to open. And when I see stuff on the bid that far out of the money, to me that says sold to open. But I like the risk reward here, and I think you could, if you want to try it, even though if you only want to spend a dollar, probably get the 52s for August 17th even cheaper. So I like your idea there for that. So Apple here just hit 197. It's up at the highs of the pre-market session, so the call must be going well.
The iPhone inventory was lower than what people thought.
Yeah,
3.5 million in total inventory, which means that people are buying them faster than what they priced in.
Go figure. You know,
those AMAT calls were basically on the bid.
Yeah, that's what
across
I thought.
Across the board. Yeah, they're basically, I just looked.
Yeah, I did look at them too, but there was somebody on the NBC halftime show today that was touting them as being bought.
Well, those guys are always right, aren't they?
Yes. And I was like, I thought they were sold. I thought they were sold to open too.
You could basically, anyone who's watching this, you could basically fade everything those people say and you would do really well.
Yeah, I think they were sold to open as well. I'm with you on that, Steve. Yeah. All right. Why don't you tell us then, how do we get a hold of you about your services and what you have to offer out there?
Sure. Yeah. Wait, can you guys see my screen?
Not yet.
Now you can. Yeah. So, I really enjoy coming on these and to the other panelists and Jim and Mike for moderating and the other Stephen with the really good name and David for running this. I really appreciate this. I really learn a lot of stuff. So, and I really love talking markets. So if anyone wants to continue chatting, you can go to stephenbrooks.co/one-on-one and, we can set up a free call. We can just talk markets. I can pick your brain. You can pick my brain and then maybe we can learn something. So thanks again for everyone for having me. And if you want to chat, you know where to find me.
Thanks, Stephen. Jim, how about you? Tell us about yourself and how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, optionprofessor.com does have 7 DVDs for educational purposes. And I'm also offering the link to my podcast, which is on YouTube, weekly update covering stocks, bonds, commodities, interest rates, the dollar, you name it. And so if you want to get that link to the podcast, just shoot me an email, optionprofessor@gmail.com, and be more than happy to hook you up. And hopefully every week we can get together and you can get a little idea of my perspective on these different markets.
Jim, thank you very much. Steve, tell us about yourself and how to get a hold of you.
All right. Thanks for having me. Thanks for everyone that came out and for those listening on the podcast. You can find me at investingwithoptions.com. If you did register, I'll be sending you my stock options trading watch list, the options that I trade the most frequently. I feel that it is easier to trade Amazon and earn 10% 10 times than it is to try and find the next stock that doubles. So that's kind of my approach, and that's how I like to trade as well. So I'll send that options trading watch list to you for free. If you have any more questions, you can find me at investingwithoptions.com.
Thank you. Thanks for being on. Myself, I'm Mike Pisani. You can find me over at smartoptiontrading.com. Click on there, bring you in there. And throughout the day, I do on a private Twitter feed real-time option flow, talk about news. We go over technicals, see which kind of things I'm trading, what I'm looking at in that day. I do a morning video every day talking about what I feel the markets are. We talk about sentiment, a nightly recap. If you don't day trade and you just do that, the nightly recap video goes over what the best flow of the day was and how I feel about the markets. Hey, and every Thursday night, we do a teaching webinar just for subscribers only. We come in and we talk about anything you want to go over, any questions you guys have in teaching about options. Love to have you on board. And you can also find me over at Alpha Shark for a couple hours a day where I do moderate in their chat room. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. And David, if you're there, I'm going to turn this over to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great show. For everyone watching or listening, be sure to subscribe to Time and Research on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to join us for both shows next week. Crowd Forecast News. Next episode of that will be August 6th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday. And then the next episode of the show, Analyze Your Trade, will be August 7th, Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I got a bunch of good guests on the schedule for next week. John Hoagland from Top Steps Trader will be on for the first time. Also, Rob Hanna, Anka Metcalf, Neil Batho, Simon Klein, Larry Gaines, and Dean Jenkins. Also, tonight, I have arranged a very interesting presentation for you at 8 p.m. Eastern Time with Top Step Trader. And so Kevin from Top Step is going to be giving a presentation. They actually fund trading accounts. So you can sign up if you need trading capital, you can sign up and in as little as 15 days, get a funded trading account. So if you want to learn more about that, just go to timingresearch.com/topstep and you can find out about that there. And just want to thank my guests again for this week, Mike Pisani of alphashark.com and smartoptiontrading.com. Thank you for moderating the show for the first time. Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com, Stephen Brooks of stephenbrooks.co, and Stephen Place of investingwithoptions.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks, David.